Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you, too. Very important people here today. City Council members, Jill Gabler, District 5. Hello, Jill.
Good morning, Renee.
District 6, high five. Andy Pico is here. Hi, guys. We're all high-fiving. So we have a lot to unpack today. I don't know if we can unpack it all, but we are talking about accessory dwelling units today ahead of the big town hall.
Tonight.
So let's start with the big town hall tonight. Is that a great place to start?
Well, yeah. It's not really starting because we've been working on this issue for probably a year and a half at this point.
Yes, and we're going to go over the history of, we were on track and then it went no, and then we're trying to get back on. But this is a chance for you to share your opinion tonight, City Hall, 6 to 7:30 p.m., Town Hall. Now, will all city council members be there?
As far as I know, we all. Yeah.
This is your chance to share your opinions, your thoughts. So first, I'm going to let either one of you take your pick and start and define an accessory dwelling unit. Let's start there, because some folks may be like, an ADU? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's some interesting nomenclature. So an accessory dwelling unit is any structure that is added on to a current home or a separate external unit on a current home. That could be a granny flat. Those are that's a common name.
Yeah.
A cottage, an apartment above a garage,
right.
Or a basement.
Okay, and that's an accessory dwelling unit.
An accessory dwelling unit.
Now, this was on track, like you said, been working on this for about a year and a half. And a lot of this, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, is coming up into discussion because we are kind of looking at Jill, you were on that show talking about affordable housing in our community, the growth of our community, how quickly our community is growing. And this has kind of come up, hasn't it, as a resolution, a possible resolution, or to help with the housing.
I agree. However, I think that the big mover of this conversation was the City of Colorado Springs completing its update to its comprehensive plan, Plan COS, which really encouraged adding density to our current city for not just affordable housing purposes, but to add more taxpayers within the current area, which helps us to fund our roads. It helps us to fund public safety. It just helps us to be a more self-sufficient and sustainable, fiscally sustainable city.
But can actually Colorado Springs grow out? Is there really room to grow out?
Oh, there's plenty of room.
Okay. To grow out?
We can continue to expand. We have a lot of the area, particularly out east in the Banning Lewis Ranch area. It's a lot of grass area, wide open spaces. So we have the space both within the city limit and as well as, the urban area can grow out to the county. The question is, and I think it's a fair point, is that when you expand like that, it is harder on city services to provide that at a lowest cost. I mean, there's no question if you have a high density, you can cover that area more cheaply with fire and police.
Right.
There's no question about that.
But like you're saying, adding Banning Lewis Ranch, we need the
expanding
services.
You need to have all of that.
Schools,
the utility infrastructure to serve that area, both water and power. Those are all issues which are valid concerns about when you expand. That costs a little bit more to do it that way than if you do it a smaller area, more dense.
Okay. And then that kind of leads into, there is room to expand, but like you were saying, Jill, looking inward areas, we could kind of expand on there. And this was actually, was this proposed by City Council several months ago, the ADU?
No, it really came out of a working group. It was called a Code Scrub Committee that was looking at how we modify our code to be more in line with Plan COS. The comprehensive plan. And so this was one of the issues that we looked at. It went through the Code Scrub Committee. They all supported the language, the original ordinance, which I can talk about. And that ordinance went to Planning Commission, where it was passed unanimously. And then that ordinance came to City Council, and it was there that Council had a lot of issues with how we would add especially external types of units to existing
properties
in the single-family zoning.
Okay. And how many units, if that's is that the right word? I just want to make sure we're using the right terminology. Units, could this, if it was single family zoning? Sure.
So let me tell you what the ordinance said.
Yeah.
Says the ordinance that was passed by Planning Commission would allow for a homeowner to add one accessory dwelling unit to their existing home. That dwelling unit could be inside their home. It could be a basement. And this is where you don't just complete your basement, but you complete your basement in a way that it is a separate unit with a separate door. It has all the living spaces that an apartment would. It would have to have a bathroom and a kitchen. 220 electrical unit, which is what a stove uses. Okay. Or you could put a separate external unit on your property. If your property was big enough, I can't remember. I think it was 5 to 10,000 square feet. Your lot had to be allowable for an external property, or you could put a unit above an existing exterior property,
like on top of a garage,
like a garage
or,
for instance, or a shed, or whatever that is. So really it's just one property. And the other piece was that the homeowner of the primary residence must live on the property. So
it couldn't be like a short term.
Well, the new accessory dwelling unit could, in this ordinance, be a short term rental, but the primary residence has to live in the other unit. In one of the units, the primary resident has to live, so that there is eyes on the property and you're not renting out both units.
Okay. And then this was what was approved by the Planning Commission, correct? And then it was sent back to City Council, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when the conversation began. And actually, we need to take a break there. Is that good? Is that a good play to pause?
Perfect.
And then when the questions started coming up. So we will have more with Jill Gabler, Andy Pico, City Council members next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we are talking about a very important conversation, accessory dwelling units. It's a lot to unpack today. We're barely going to scratch the surface. But joining me today, City Council members Jill Gabler, District 5, Andy Pico, District 6. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
And this is ahead of tonight's big town hall that is happening starting at 6 p.m. Goes till 7:30 tonight at City Hall. So most City Council members will be there. So we were talking about how this started about a year and a half ago. This plan was all approved. Planning Commission was like, we're a go. All approved, and then it got back to City Council, right? And then things started getting unpacked. So what were some of the conversations? Yeah. So tell us, Andy, what were some of the things that started getting unpacked about the plan as Jill laid it out for us?
Well, where we kind of separated out there was taking the idea of a single-family residential zoned area and then say, well, we're actually going to add more houses in it. And that's kind of where we've had the difference of opinion. So if you've had a residential area, it's been single-family zoned, and that's what it is. And now if you add a detached ADU, you are now turning it, in effect, into an R2 zone, and that's kind of where we drew the line. As well, if you go in there and not detached, but you do it within your home, and you add an auxiliary dwelling unit on top of the garage or in the basement or so forth, and you, in effect, turn it into a duplex, again, you're changing the character of that neighborhood from a residentially zoned single family into a dual family. And that's kind of where we've had the discussion about whether or not you should do that or not. And as we've gone into some of that discussion, if you're turning your home into a duplex, you're doing it without meeting the code requirements of a duplex. So in effect, you're going around the zoning or the building code and changing it. So you're doing that. So where we've kind of have been, where we were sort of coming to an agreement is that if you're doing a in-home modification, you currently can rent out a room or two or three. So if you're going to modify your home to better be able to do that, but not do a second independent family, I think council has been coming down to that's sort of okay.
So just modifying your existing home.
Modifying, but not turning it into a duplex. If you do the idea that you're going to have a separate independent family inside your home, that's kind of where we've said no, at least some of us. And where we're going to find out where we're going to land on the council-wide yet to be determined. But that's kind of where some of us have come down on that. So it boils down to whether or not you're going to turn an R1 zone into an R2 zone without doing a zoning process.
Hmm. And so what's your thoughts on that, on those thoughts, Jill?
Well, so what I wasn't clear on what Andy just said is, yes, council has, it does sound like there's a majority of council members who would be supportive of allowing, for instance, in this case, maybe a basement to be used as
an apartment, a separate apartment.
I mean, currently, anyone could move into your home and live in a room, because, as you said, 1, 2, 3 bedrooms. But the accessory dwelling unit piece is actually, as I said before, separating that unit from the rest of the house with a separate door, separate kitchen, separate bathroom. And I'm not sure council is even supportive of creating that second unit in the house, as Andy just described it. It could be deemed a duplex at that point. I do support the idea that we would completely separate that unit and make it its own exclusive living unit for, it could be used by a family member, which is what often happens, especially aging parents, allowing them a nice place to live near family, but also a way for a primary homeowner to earn some revenue off their existing home, and allowing folks who are, because they don't earn enough money, forced to live on the edges of our community, opportunities to live closer in, where they have cheaper transportation costs, they're closer to school and work. And so there's a lot of reasons why I really support the idea of doing this. There's a lot of places for compromise, though. I mean, when you think of the word duplex, I think of two similar units side by side.
Right, that's what I think of too, right?
That's what most people think of, but that's the concern. We're taking a look at this and going, are you in effect creating a duplex without creating a duplex? And that's kind of where we're sort of struggling and trying to find where that comes down there. So far as, you know, if you want to have a place for grandma, or grandparents want to have a place for kids, I would call that a single family. It's just an extended family, and I don't think we really have an issue there. It's when you come out and have a whole new second family, independent of the first family, in one structure. That's sort of where we're trying to find out where that's going to work, or how that's going to work.
And for me, I mean, we could do anything we want to try to make that more manageable or acceptable by more of our council. We could decide that the accessory dwelling unit could only be a certain percentage of the size of the primary unit,
right.
So that it's a small unit that could only fit so many people. It wouldn't be two families living in two different residences. There are a lot of different options there. And for me, I would just really like to move forward something that gives our city residents and homeowners some opportunity to create some accessory dwelling unit. And I'm very open to how that looks, but I do want us to have some ability to do that.
Okay, we do need to take a quick news break, and the discussion will continue when we come back. Jill Gabler, Andy Pico on The Extra.
Hi.
KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking about accessory dwelling units, ADUs. City Council Member Andy Pico is here. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Jill Gabler is here. Hello, Jill.
Good morning.
Okay, so I know we're really not going to get dive into everything here because there's so much. By the way, there is a town hall tonight, first of two. Well, really not the first of two. How about the first of two in this round? How's that?
In this round?
Well,
that's pretty fair.
City Hall tonight, 6 to 7:30. Now, just to give you a quick background, and so... all part of the plan, COS kind of thing. The Planning Commission said, where it go? We all approve, right? Did you like the voices?
Was yeah, that guys? That's really nice, good. Yeah. They'll like that.
Did that help?
Yeah.
Planning Commission is going right now. They said ADUs are a go. It got to City Council. It looked like it was a go. And then there were some questions that started coming up. And then, can we just dive into these articles/editorials that came out? Is that okay?
You're in charge.
Yeah. Should we do it?
Our way.
Fire away. So then some articles that, well, they were actually editorials that were possibly presented as articles in the Gazette. Bob Levy, Tom Cronin, talking about ADUs, impact that they could possibly have on the community, which there could be an impact, right? But that kind of sparked some of the
discussion.
Is that right? Is that a good way to put it?
Well, I think a lot of people read those articles in the paper and suddenly became very fearful of the idea of accessory dwelling units because it was presented in a very fear-mongering way.
Okay.
In my opinion.
But were they articles, though?
No, they were editorials in the part of the paper that was not for editorials.
Oh. I just wanted to clarify. Were they actually articles?
No.
Or just editorials?
Okay. Well, I would tend to agree that they were more editorial than article.
They were more opinion.
And despite the fact that I happen to agree with a lot of what they said, not all, you know, that's kind of how it came across.
Now, what are some of the biggest concerns that were presented in these by Bob Levy and Tom Cronin? What were some of that you agreed with, Andy?
Well, I think they're coming in with the idea that you could take in single family residential zone area, you could fill it up and you have in effect turn it into a R2 zone, whereas people have bought in R1. The other number that was tossed about, and that was in a packet that came to us, it said 68,000 lots in the city will be eligible for a detached home, and you can do that. So that sort of caught my attention and some others, and you want to do that. Now, I will absolutely agree the fact that when you allow this, other cities have done this, you don't have 68,000, you have 1,000 or two. But the question is still, and some of us, if you're in an R1 zone, you're in effect changing it. And that's kind of where we've drawn a line. If you have new development coming out there, if we zone it ahead of time to allow ADU, then I don't think we have a problem.
Now, kind of going back to that, and thank you for kind of highlighting there, Andy, because there are, again, a lot to unpack here. But then Gazette reporter Conrad Swanson, he kind of put out an article talking about some facts, right? Looking at ADU, that what has been done in other communities in Colorado and how this has impacted the community. And I have not had a chance to read the whole article, but it was it possibly more in favor of ADUs?
The article that Conrad Swanson wrote was more the facts around what other cities have experienced when they have allowed ADUs to be a part of their zoning code.
Okay.
So, yes.
And then there was kind of by the Gazette editorial board, then they came out with, it sounds like a piece that actually supported kind of ADU. They endorse ADUs.
They did.
Because this kind of plays into all that has happened, hasn't it? These editorials, the article, and then the other editorial.
Yes.
It has kind of played into the conversation that's been going on, hasn't it? Yes. Very much so.
Very much so.
Okay. Just so everybody understands kind of how this narrative got drawn out,
yes.
Right? So let's get down to the nuts and bolts. I'm checking time here because we have so much, you guys, so much. So based on all those articles and everything, you can go to the Gazette website. You can look it all up. It'll all be there. You can make your own opinions about it. But Andy, I said to you in the break, look, I have no opinion either way, you know. But when it comes down to it, if somebody wants to add an ADU, and you guys can look at me and be like, Renee, you are just, you know, clueless. But that's my property. If I want to add another dwelling and I want to get it do that, can I do that?
Well, that goes to the heart of an issue that I would tend to agree, except that if you're in the R1 zone, that's where I'm kind of drawing a line. I'm saying if you're in a residentially zoned area that's only been zoned for a single family, then you are in effect changing that zoning. And that's the issue that I have. The idea that, yeah, can I add something to my property? I'm rather in favor of that. It's where we draw the line and what the limits are.
So how many like R1 zones? Then, because in that one, it was 68,000 units, right? Or lots, right? Is that kind of the rough
number? They were going beyond R1. They were talking about every.
Right.
Everything.
Okay. So I don't know exactly how many R1 zoned lots we have, but the article was, of course, I mean, very extreme in regard to the numbers. And as I said, your lot would have to be a certain size to even allow for a detached type
Correct.
Of unit.
Absolutely.
So those numbers are much smaller. And what we are seeing in other cities is that usually no more than 10% of homes would ever consider doing something like this. And yes, it could be all of them. But I think a lot of the residents in our R1 zones are worried about additional traffic, additional people, noise, what have you. And I guess what we have not seen that occur in other cities. And I really, I guess, struggle with the idea that we allow certain activities in single family zoning now. For instance, A homeowner can, of course, have as many children as they want, which is certainly acceptable. And that is likely could be far more people than there would ever be in a home with an ADU. You can have five, non-related people living in a house right now. So you could have a family of six with other people living in this house. I mean, there's a lot of currently allowed opportunities for people to have a lot of people living in a house. And so just to say that we would allow some other type of use that could add a couple people just does not seem like it's going to be a big burden on our neighborhoods. We call accessory dwelling units gentle density. It is the gentlest of density in an R1 zone. So no other city has experienced any type of issues when they have added the accessory dwelling units. In fact, most people find out that it's pretty okay. And one other thing in regard to the articles that were presented by Bob Levy. Bob Levy lives in the Old North End.
Correct.
And he's very concerned about how this accessory dwelling unit ordinance would impact his neighborhood, which I represent that neighborhood, so I know a great deal about it.
And those lots, I mean, understandably, can be pretty big.
They're very large lots.
They tend to be pretty big.
So
the Old North End, absolutely.
And he's concerned about that. But the ironic part about it is they're very old homes, mostly over 100 years old. And a lot of those homes already have carriage houses.
Correct.
And exterior types of housing products. In fact, the current president of the Old North End has three carriage houses in his backyard, which used to be housed by staff that helped support the home 100
right.
years ago.
Right.
So I think that neighborhood already has the density pretty much that it's ever going to have. It's not an accessory dwelling unit
right.
ordinance would not impact
them
very much.
Well, some of those, of course, old homes in the Old North End have been converted to apartments too.
Yes, so, they have.
Yeah. They have.
So,
they have.
I mean, that's like you're saying. Now, Andy, do you think some of the concerns too by homeowners really quick before we let's hold this thought, we got to take a break. Sorry. don't shoot water out
no
your
choking.
Nose there. Sorry, I almost made her choke. I want to talk about if you think there's concern by homeowners as well about turning them into short-term rentals if this is approved.
Uh-oh.
So is that a whole okay we're gonna have more when we come back on the Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, talking with City Council members Jill Gabler, Andy Pico. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Okay, you guys looked at me before the break like, oh, Renee, you just unpacked a can of worms. So is one of the concerns that you were hearing at the town halls with ADUs, potentially folks are, can they turn that? Sorry, Jill, didn't mean to kick you. I'm all like, She's like, I'm moving over here. I'm flailing over here. No. Can the ADUs be used as short-term rentals? Is that a valid question? Of course, right? And then all the short-term rental discussion that's going on now, is that a big concern that everyone is hearing about the ADU town halls?
Well, these are two different issues, but
correct.
They very definitely overlap. And as Jill said, the Venn diagram is very, very complex. And this is an issue that, well, if the ADU is allowed, then absolutely it could be a short-term rental. The issue that is kind of going on is whether or not you're going to have owner-occupied short-term rentals.
Right, that's what's up right now. It has to be owner-occupied for a short-term. No?
Well,
no.
There's two different
no.
parts.
Okay.
And there's that part of it, and then the other part of it is whether you'll have a non-owner-occupied short-term rental. And that's kind of a dispute that's going on right now at council. We're arguing over that. But to the extent that relates to ADUs, yes, an ADU absolutely could be a short-term rental. And regardless of how we end up structuring it, yes, they could be. And that is where those two issues overlap.
So does that go into consideration when figuring out if to approve ADUs?
Well, I think there are certain council members who don't want ADUs because they don't want them to become short-term rentals.
Right.
But at the same time, many of those same council members have said that they support owner-occupied short-term rentals, which is exactly what an ADU would be.
Yeah,
sorry,
right.
These acronyms. In other words, the primary resident is living on the property, so it is owner-occupied. And the short-term rental would either be the basement or a cottage outside the existing house.
Now, if ADUs are approved, and could that help with affordable housing in our community?
Well, as we said before, in other cities, it hasn't shown to be a significantly used by homeowners, but it will be used by some. And I want those few to have the private property rights to do that.
Maybe they want to bring their family members.
In Denver, there's been a couple hundred built. And I mean, that may not be much, but that's a couple hundred homes potentially for lower income people, because it tends to be smaller properties on an existing lot. And again, they're typically closer in to where transit is and resources and jobs and school and what have you. So I do think it helps in small ways with affordable housing, yes.
Andy?
It's one tool.
Yeah. It's one tool. It will add to the inventory, and the more you add to the inventory, the more you can have some downward pressure on the prices. And that's true. And what someone does with that, with an approved ADU, is I think up to them. If they wanted to use a short-term rental or a long-term rental, that's up to them. If they want to have their internal home, as I've said before, if you have, you know, either grandparents or grandkids, that's a single family in my view, and you know, more power to them.
Okay, so since we're kind of back at the beginning process of mm-hmm. ADUs and single family zones, right? This right. discussion, mm-hmm. We know we have the town hall tonight. Again, let's talk about that. This is your chance to show up, discuss, right? People can share their opinions with City Council. That's tonight, City Hall, starting at 6, going till 7:30. It sounds like there's another City Council town hall coming up, but we don't know when that is.
We're planning on two of them, but I don't recall when the second one is.
It's been scheduled, but I have heard that it could be changed. So
yeah, I think that
there will
be
a second one.
Yeah, there will be a second one.
You can't make it tonight.
Possibly, yeah, a second one. And then is there a kind of a timeline on when a decision will be made for this? Because again, this has been like a year and a half mm-hmm. plus discussing this. And you got, again, folks that are for it, folks that are against it. Everybody's got their opinion on this. Right. So,
well, my hope is that we would bring it back pretty soon, early into the new year. But I think because we have modified the ordinance so much, or are likely to, right. that it should probably first go back to the Planning Commission. They are our subject matter experts, and I'd like them to have an opportunity to give us their feedback on the ordinance, and then it would come back to us, hopefully, pretty early in the new year.
We could think,
knock
right?
on wood.
Yeah. I would hope so. I think we can come to resolution on ADUs wherever it ends up. It'll press you. We don't have a hard date we have to meet. I mean, it's not an objective in there, but I think right. realistically, just going through the process, early part of the year, we'll have something. The short-term rentals will be as well on a very similar timeline. It's going to be probably sometime in the early part of the year.
And if the discussion continues, I mean, is it an absolute, or is this a conversation that could continue going for quite a while?
Yeah, I think that this council is going to provide the first bite at this apple of ADUs, and future councils are probably going to see how and if it's providing any relief of affordable housing, if it's really working, and they are likely, I would assume, to make adjustments to the ordinance okay. in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, be tweaking it. And in the town hall tonight, come, you know, voice your opinion. Council members will not usually respond to things. This is their chance.
Your chance.
It's your chance to tell us okay. what you think, not our chance to debate you. So, you know, get... You know, if we don't say anything, it's not because we're ignoring you. We're very definitely listening to you.
Right. It's a chance to hear.
It's a chance for us to
listen
hear.
And hear.
Listen.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So town hall again tonight on ADUs at City Hall, starting at 6 and going to 7:30. Okay. I think we kind of, did we do a good job? Because there's a lot to unpack, but did we kind of help
I think we hit the high points.
That's good.
Yeah. We could delve in, but that would take another hour.
I was going to say I think we could go an hour all week, right? Do you guys want to do that? No, you guys are like, we do have to go to council meetings and stuff. It's a yeah. crazy concept. Thank you both, Andy Pico, Jill Gabler, for coming in today.
Thank you, Renee.
We appreciate
our pleasure.
It. Thank you. Coming up tomorrow on The Extra, CDOT will be here. We'll get you your monthly update. That's tomorrow on KRDO News Radio.